Turn to Matthew chapter number 5, and I'm going to preach out of a text I've never preached out of since I've been called to preach. I've referenced it many times preaching, but I've never preached out of the text. It's Matthew chapter number 5, and I'm going to be preaching out of the Sermon on the Mount this morning. Lord gave me a message, I guess it's been weeks ago, and Lord directed me in this direction this morning. And so when you found Matthew chapter number 5, say amen, and I'll know that you're there. Matthew chapter 5, amen. Thank God for the Gospels. Thank God for the truth, for the gospel truth, as you might say. So Matthew 5, verse number 1, the Bible says this: "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before them." And what I want to preach on this morning is this little thought. And there's 9 principles here in the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe that they are God's plan for blessing. Amen. That's what I'm going to preach on, God's plan for blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. And God, I do pray you'd bless the word. And I do pray you'd bless the hearers of the word. And we know that the doers of the word will be blessed. God, that's your promise. And God, I pray that we could all be doers of the word. And we could look at these 9 principles this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, that our lives could be blessed in return. God, our nation could be blessed. Our cities, Father, our places of work, Lord, Lord God, our neighborhoods. Lord, we thank you for the word. Help us to make application. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on God's plan for blessing, and again, otherwise known as the Sermon on the Mount, can I say this morning? Who doesn't want to be blessed? I don't know about you. I don't walk around saying, God, curse me, God, curse me, God, curse me, right? Now, I know some people, they use God's name in vain and they ask God to damn everything. But let me tell you, that's not normal. I don't want a rain cloud or a thunderbolt over my head. I want God's blessing upon my life and my family and our children and grandchildren, our church. And in everything we do, we want to be blessed. Amen. And that's normal. That's what everybody wants, you know. But you know, when it comes to God's blessings, can I say this? They don't happen on accident. God's blessings are in connection with something. And in our text here, verses 1 to 12, we are given the prescription for God's blessing. He tells us how to be blessed. We're given the pathway in verses 1 to 12. The direction we should go to receive God's blessing. The particulars. The exact instructions of what we're supposed to do. And then, of course, the petition that we would do it. You know, I think it's all summed up. Jesus summed it up when he talked about the golden rule, and that is, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. That's what it's all about. Amen. And chapter number 3 of Matthew, we're right there. You can look at it. You know, John the Baptist comes on the scene preaching the baptism of repentance. And he's telling them, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's telling them, hey, that God's judgment is at hand. And notice, as he preaches to them, and Luke, I'm sorry, not Matthew 3, Luke chapter number 3, as he preaches to them and tries to prepare the way of Jesus Christ coming, and Luke chapter number 3, notice what he says there, or notice as he preaches what happens. Matter of fact, look there in verse number it says in verse number 5, he said, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse number 7, then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you from the flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He says, and now also the axe is laid in the root of the trees, and every tree which therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So he's preaching to them. Now notice the response of the people. Verse number 10. The people asked him, saying, what shall we do? Look at verse number 12. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And then in verse number 14, the soldiers come. The public servants come and say, likewise, demanded him, saying, what shall we do? You know what they did? They heeded the preaching of John the Baptist. The only crowd that wouldn't listen was the Pharisees, the religious crowd. And you know what? You know, as we read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling us what we need to do. You know, many times people say, what do I need to do to fix my life? Well, if we will follow God's plan, God can fix everything that's wrong in our life. Amen. If we'll follow the directions, if we'll follow the path, if we'll follow the prescription. Hey, I tell people all the time, this book has the answer to every problem in your life. I believe it. And you know what? This book has solved so many of my problems. And I had more than a few of them when I got saved. I had a lot of problems. But see, this Bible can solve the problems. Amen. Jesus Christ is a problem solver. I don't care if you're demon possessed. I don't care if you got depression or if you're a maniac or whatever problem you might have. God can solve all the problems. Thank God that He can. Now, I want to notice a few things before we get into the message. But first thing I want to notice is the way to blessing. Look back in Matthew chapter number 7. You see, there's a way to be blessed. There's a pathway. And I think we understand that. Jesus made it clear, verse 13, He said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth life, and few there be find it. Let me tell you, if you get on the straight, narrow way, guess what? You're going to be blessed. Because you're going to be on the path to God's blessing. It's not that crooked path and that wide gate. It's that straight gate and that narrow way that leads to God's blessing. You think about that for a minute. Not only the way to God's blessing, but the walk to God's blessing. We know what Psalms 1 says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the steps of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, there's a place where we need to walk, and there's a way to have God's blessing. And you know, and the word of God's blessing. Look in Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11 this morning, if you look there in verse number 27, Luke 11 and 27. And you know, and God always makes it plain where we can understand it. I don't think there's anything hard about what I've just said, but Luke chapter number 11, look what he says in verse number 27 and in verse number 28. It says, it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that, look what it says, hear the word of God and do what? Keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say. Now, you want to be blessed, it's hearing the word of God and keep it. It's doing it. It's following it. It's practicing it in our everyday life. And see, obedience is the key and the pathway to God's blessing. So what I want to do this morning, I want to start and look at these nine principles. And I know it's nine, but we're going to move it along this morning. And the first one is in verse number 3. And notice what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, you think about the less fortunate and the lowly and the lonely and the people that are at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, as we would call it. But you know, when you're at the bottom, there's only one direction to go, and that's what? Up. Thank God for that. Thank God. When you reach your lowest ebb, there's only one way to go, and that is up. That's why in Psalms 40, I love Psalms 40. I quote it all the time. We look at it all the time. But Psalms 40, the psalm that said, I waited patiently for the Lord, inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and trust in the Lord. You know, thank God that there's a way, and it's up. Amen. Up from the depths of despair, up from the problems, up from the gloom and the place where you feel like, hey, there's nowhere to go. Thank God there is somewhere to go. It's in Jesus Christ. But you know what? People got to get to the point where they reject their pride. You know what keeps so many people from receiving God's blessing? It's their pride. And God rejects the proud in spirit. We know that he does. And, you know, you ask me, hey, do you need a help up? I don't need any help. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. He said, for God's sake, you do need our help. Everyone needs God's help. But you got to get to that place where you understand that you need God's help. And God puts us in those places. You know, there's six things the Lord hates. And the Bible says, and yea, seven are abomination unto him. You know what the first thing is that God hates? In Proverbs, I believe it's 6, chapter 6, and verse number 16. He said this. This is what he said, 6:16. He said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And the first things he hates is a proud look. Hey, you got to humble yourself to come to Jesus Christ. And see, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They know they need help. They know they have a problem. Hey, to admit that you need God's help is the answer and the way to God's blessing. Amen. Knowing that you need Jesus Christ. Hey, you say, Brother Chris, do you need God's help? Every day I need God's help. You say, well, you've been saved for 41 years and you still need God's help? You better believe I need God's help. Hey, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here this morning. We need God in our life so desperately. And see, the poor in spirit know it. They know they need God in their life. The proud in spirit think they don't need anyone. Well, let me tell you, we need God in our life. Proverbs 8:18, Solomon in his wisdom said this, that's not the verse that I want. I'm so bad about that. But let me get another verse here. Proverbs 10 and, or not Proverbs 10, but Proverbs 11 and verse number 2. Let me get over there and see if I wrote the right one down. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, God is with the lowly. God, you know, the Bible says God cares for the poor. God cares for the poor. And God cares for those who have no help. I mean, if God cares for the sparrow, don't you think he cares for how much more or better are we than sparrows? You know, a guy came by yesterday and it was so sad. And, you know, he knocked on the door and it's him and, you know, and his wife and his mother and his two kids. And I'm thinking, man alive. He said, you know, I just need help for one night. And I'm thinking, you know, they got themselves in a situation. The truth of the matter is they need help for more than one night. Because what are they going to do the next night? What are they going to do the night after that? And I said, you know, I said, my goodness, the situations that people end up in. And, you know, God is more than able to take care of people in their situations. But they have to want God and not just what God is offering. You understand the difference? People say, well, preacher, I want your money, but I don't want you. Right? Hey, we'll come to church if you'll give me something, but I'm never coming back. They'll sit outside. They know they want help. They'll sit outside in the parking lot. They'll wait till church is over. What does that tell you? They don't want what church is offering. They just want the money that we have. Can I tell you? Money isn't going to solve their problem. Their problem is a deep-seated, rooted spiritual problem. The maniac of Gadara, let me tell you, nothing could solve his problem but Jesus Christ casting the devils out. Amen. And no amount of help, no amount of rehabilitation, no amount of anything was going to change until something changed on the inside. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Hey, when you can come to yourself, when the prodigal son came to himself and he said, what am I doing? It was then that he was able to get some help. It was then that God worked in his life. It was then, hey, that things began to change. The Bible makes it very clear that pride goeth for destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it to be of a humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with a proud. Hey, there is something about humility that God likes. There's something about the poor in spirit, the meek and lowly, that God blesses. Proverbs 29 and in verse number 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Hey, God can lift us up. But hey, the poor in spirit, those that can humble themselves and realize what their condition is and what it is they need in their life, it changes everything. And, you know, for so many, it's hard to get to that place. And it's sad, because if they got to that place, they would get the help they need. The psalmist said this. He said in Psalms 10:2, he said, the wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of their heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in lurking places. Now you say, what's the problem? They're so full of pride. And God says, that person is never going to be blessed. God loves humility. And humility is the stepping stone to God's blessing. And saying, God, I need your help. In our text, look back at verse number 4. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then verse number 4, notice what it says. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hey, you know, I think the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. Hey, we have to have empathy, compassion, mercy, and grace. You say, why? Because we all need that. And you can't be blessed without it. Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know the problem in America today? As Americans, we become very hard, cold, and bitter towards the less fortunate. We have. And it's sad. You know, we celebrated Christmas yesterday because you know what happened, COVID, right? So we celebrated yesterday. And I was praying at the table, and the first thing in my prayer, I said, Lord, thank you that we're all alive. I was thanking God that we're all alive. There's a lot of Christmas tables where there were empty chairs. And people were missing. I said, God, thank you, first of all, that we're all alive. And God, you've blessed us so much. You know, we take for granted God's blessings every day, do we not? And it's sometimes easy to think that they're always going to be there. Well, we're always going to have God's blessings. Can I tell you, nobody's guaranteed of that. Well, things are always going to be good in America. Let me tell you, you can't count on that. Hey, we're living in troublous times. And, you know, and God help us if we can't have empathy and mercy and grace with others that are going through difficult times. We, you know, recently we've had a lot of people we have known have passed. They've died, gone to heaven. And you know what? Hey, you weep with those that weep. You say, hey, we're with you. We're praying for you. Because they're going through a difficult time. Can I say this? There's one thing we should never do. And I say, please never, never say they're getting what they deserved. You say, why? Because you might get what you deserve. And I know I don't want what I deserve. I want God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, God's unmerited favor, God's undeserved favor. I don't go around saying you're getting what you deserve. No, I say, God, help these people in the hour of their need to see that you are the only hope that they have. God, help us. God, help us. In verse number 5, the third principle, notice what he says. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I know meekness is despised. You know, you got to be strong and you got to be powerful and you got to be tough. You know, and there may be a little bit of truth to that, but can I tell you, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. And he saw God face to face. Amen. The Bible called him the greatest prophet that there ever was. And Jesus Christ was likened unto Moses, or Moses was likened unto Jesus Christ. And he was a meek and kind and gentle. And you say, why? He was always praying for those bunch of rebels. Was he not? He was a meek man. And God was with him. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, the meek and lowly Galilean, as a sheep led to the slaughter. Can I tell you that, hey, there's something to be said for people that have meekness in their life. And that's why it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When it comes to gentleness and goodness in a slow temper, hey, we struggle with that, do we not? I mean, my goodness, we struggle with these things. I got to be first. I got to be best. I got to be this. Well, hey, the Bible says something about that in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 22, if you'll look there this morning. Psalms 22, look at verse number 26. And the psalm that said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever, and all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord and all the kindreds. You know why Mahatma Gandhi was so remembered? Because he said, listen, they were under severe oppression of the of Great Britain and the English Empire. And they horribly suffered at the hands of the British Army. But Mahatma Gandhi said, hey, we're not going to win through armed struggle. We are going to win through peaceful resistance. And they did. Hey, there's something to be said about meekness. There's something to be said. You know, hey, was Pharaoh meek? But where did he end up? How did it work out for Pharaoh? Pharaoh said, hey, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I know not the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. And at the end of the day, he was in hell. There's something to be said for those who have a gentleness about them. Psalms 25 and in verse number 9, the Bible says this, the meek he will guide in judgment, the meek he will teach his way. You know, the proud and arrogant, you can't teach them anything. They're unteachable. But someone who will hear what's being said. I was discipling with Brother John yesterday, and I was telling him, you know, sometimes, even as pastor, people got to point out that I'm wrong about something. And you know, when people point out that I'm doing something wrong or I shouldn't be doing something, you know what I try and do? I said, Lord, my pride says, how dare they question what you're the preacher, they can't question you. But that inner man, the meekness of Jesus Christ, said, you better listen to what they're telling you. I told you that story. I had these two Mormons, had them real mad up at America's Thrift Store because I was giving them the Bible and giving them the truth. And the one run over me with his bicycle. We were laughing about it. And so he rode off, and I was yelling at him while he rode off. And the other Mormon, which was his follower, instructee, who was listening to everything I had to say, he said, now, Pastor Chris, it's unbecoming of a pastor to be yelling like that across the parking lot. You know what I did? I stopped yelling immediately. I said, you know what? You're right. I'm acting like a psychopath. And the lost world isn't going to respond to that. You know what the lost world says? There they are. They said, two Christians out there fighting. Now, the mistake they made, the Mormon wasn't a Christian. That's the mistake they made. And I said, you're right, you're right, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't be acting like a psychopath. I can quietly speak the truth in love. But you know, you have to be able to receive instruction. The problem today is people can't receive instruction. All across America, there was a time when you could give instruction to a church member and they would repent, they would be sorry, and they would do better in their life. Today, they walk out the back door and join another church. And they become unteachable. And what happens, they become uninstructable. And what happens in time, they become a church member that honestly, they become unpastorable. You know, that's one thing I never wanted to be, was unpastorable. Hey, a sheep that will not follow the shepherd, you can't do nothing with it. It's going to get in trouble because it won't follow any kind of leadership. And you know, we live in a world today. I was looking at the riots out there in Seattle and the riots that they're having out in Portland. And what they said was, these people are completely... what was the word? I'm looking for the word they used. But he said, we can't do anything with them. They're ungovernable. That's what he said. They're completely ungovernable. Now you know what's going to happen to them. Are they going to be blessed? No. They're going to be in jail or they're going to be dead. Remember what our mayor of Chattanooga said about the Crips and the Bloods and the different gangs here? He said, you're changing your zip code, you're going to jail, or you're going to the cemetery because you are completely ungovernable. Can I tell you? Someone that's ungovernable isn't going to be blessed. There is no blessing for the ungovernable. There is no hope in their situation because they cannot receive instruction. You know why the Pharisees sealed their doom when they went to hell? Because they could not receive instruction. Everybody has to receive instruction. Psalms 37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Hey, when you can receive instruction, you're going to be blessed in your life. Things are going to be different. He says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Peace. I don't know about you. I don't like chaos. I don't. I don't like drama. I mean, you say, I love drama. Well, we know Americans love to watch drama because they watch it on TV all the time. Isn't that what The Bachelorette's all about? Isn't that what all these goofy shows are all about? Because you want to see the drama of what's happening in people's lives. Can I tell you, when there was drama at work, it wasn't pleasant to go to work. When there's drama at the house, it's not pleasant to be at the house. When there's drama in the neighborhood, it's not pleasant to be in the neighborhood. When there's drama in the church, it's not pleasant to be at church. There's something to be said for this blessedness of having some, God help us, some meekness in our life and being different from the world and what's going on around us. And see, as a Christian, you know what I mean? You know what I enjoy about my life? There's no drama in my life. I don't want any drama in my life. You know, I there's something to be said for having peace and being at peace. There is something to be said for that. The Bible says, the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Thank God for that. You say, what are they? There's principles of being blessed. And meekness is one of those principles. Thank God for it. Thank God that we can have that. The fourth principle is verse number 6. In our text, notice what it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. People say, I've heard Christian people say all the time, you know, I'm at church and I'm not getting fed. The one preacher said, you don't need fed, you need burped. Are you kidding me? There's more truth in a day in which we live than there's ever been since Jesus Christ came to this earth. There is truth everywhere if you want it. And if you're hungering and thirsting after... See, you know, it's hard to feed people that aren't hungry for anything. You ever try and make a kid eat when he ain't hungry? You know, you got a little baby. What's a baby do when he ain't hungry? He spits it out all over the place. But see, if there's hunger, you don't have to ask them to eat it. Because they want it. They can't get enough if there's hunger. You know what the problem is? There's no spiritual hunger in the day in which we live. You say, why? Because they're filled up with the world. They're filled up with their flesh. They're filled up with every wrong thing in this life. And when it comes to the things of God, they have no hunger for it whatsoever. I see it all the time. Start to talk to somebody, and right away they say, oh man, I can't stand to hear that, what you're about to say. Because they have no hunger for the things of God. I know Christian people that have no hunger for the things of God. And you have to force feed them anything you give them. Because there's no hunger or desire for the things of God. And that's why he said, what did he say? He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, hey, when it comes to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I believe in Matthew 7, you're right there. Look in Matthew 7. It says, and what's it say? It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He continues the parable and says, and what man is there of you whom if he asks of his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Hey, if you're hungry, God's going to fill you. The problem today is the lack of hunger for the things of God. We live in a nation where people think it's the worst thing, the most dreadful thing in the world is to have to go to church and listen to preaching. Because there's no hunger or thirst for righteousness. Psalms 42. And we see it all throughout our society. You know? Well, why do I need to go to church? It's not why you need to go to church. Why don't you want to go to church? Because there's no hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know why America, we had this great spiritual revival through the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Because people wanted it. Why you can't, we're down to 1 and 2 day revivals now across this nation. You say, how did that happen? Because people don't want revival. They don't want to have meetings. They don't want to be committed. They don't want to set anything aside. There's no hunger and thirst. And it's why we're not being blessed as a nation. Blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. Hey, we lost God's blessing a long time ago. And we're living on the crumbs. Do you understand that? We are living on the crumbs of yesterday's blessing. God help us. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I can tell you, hey, it's just not there. There's not a burning desire. There's not a hunger. We can't say, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Where's the hunger and thirst? That's what's missing. And we wonder why we're in such bad state. We wonder why we're not blessed. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, why isn't God first in people's lives? Because there's no hunger and thirst for righteousness. I guarantee you, if you're hungry for God and you come to him, you're going to be filled. But the hunger is missing. You say, what is righteousness? What is the kingdom of God? You know, a Jehovah's Witness thought he was being smart one day, and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, he didn't even know what that meant. You say, what is the kingdom of God? Romans, the book of Romans, chapter number 14, Romans 14, tells us what the kingdom of God is. Romans chapter number 14. And this is what the Bible says, Romans 14 and verse number 17. It says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. You know what the joy of the Holy Ghost is? Man, that springs up inside of you. That's the joy we get, the I can't help it. I'd go into work and say, why are you smiling? Because I just got done praying and reading my Bible and I got the joy of the Holy Ghost. And they say, you're weird. Get away from me. Don't talk to me. I said, I can't help it. I got the joy of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm smiling. You know how most people come into work, they ain't smiling in the morning when they come to work. Because they don't want to be there. And I can understand. But you know what? Every job I've ever had, I was always reading my Bible and praying before I went to work. When I worked at Domino's, my second job, I'd read my Bible and pray before I went to Domino's. I got off at 3:30. I started Domino's at 5 o'clock, and I delivered pizza, and I did it for 5 years. So I'd read my Bible from 3:30 to 4:30, and I'd go to work, and I'd get to work, and I'd be, can I tell you how happy I'd be when I got there? And can I tell you on how unhappy most Domino drivers are? They are not a happy bunch. But you just come in and you have a radiance. You say, why? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. You come to church and you're not being fed, it ain't the preacher's problem. It's because you got no appetite for it. Hey, these are God's pathway to blessings. And he said, hey, you want to be blessed? Here it is. The Sermon on the Mount. It's very simple. Verse number 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. Mercy and grace is a great pathway to God's blessing. You know, forgiving others. Matthew 6:14, you're right there. Notice what it says. For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You got to forgive people. You got to let things go. You know, and I say forgiveness is such an important thing. And saying, you know what? You know, it's okay. I'm going to forgive that. And I'm not going to hold that till the day I die. People do that. They take it to the grave with them. And it's sad because, hey, blessed are the merciful, for they shall do what? Obtain mercy. Amen. Matthew 18:33, Jesus said this. Let me get my spot here. 18:33, he said, shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? I mean, how many times you've done something crazy and someone forgave you for it? How many times you violated, hey, and someone had a little mercy? You know, I think to myself, hey, blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy. This is a good thing. Hey, to have this understanding. Luke 6 and in verse number 35 this morning. And again, these were Jesus' principles that he taught the people. He said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind on the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Hey, having some mercy and grace, some kindness, some compassion. The book of James makes it very clear. Hey, if you're not merciful, don't expect God to be merciful with you. You don't want to be a blessing to someone else, don't expect God to be a blessing to you. James 2 and verse number 13, this is what he said. For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now sometimes in my evil mind, I think, well, they deserve what they're getting. And the Lord always reminds me when I think that of the things that I did. And he was merciful. And I always have to bow my head in shame and say, God, I'm sorry for having that attitude. I want God's blessing. And mercy and grace go along with it. Verse number 8, the sixth principle. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what God doesn't like? Pretenders. People who pretend to be saved, pretend to be born again, pretend to love God, and there's nothing there. Isn't that why he got on to the Pharisees? Isn't that why he told them, how shall you generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Because their heart wasn't pure. God doesn't like pretenders. God likes people that are real and genuine, and God sees into people's hearts. You know, you can fool a lot of people, but who's the person you can never fool? You can never fool God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's so many verses in the Bible, Psalms 15, that tell us that. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, who worketh righteous, and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's why the Bible says, with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession of salvation. It's not the head, it's the heart. And that's what's missing. They have no heart for the things of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why do you think Jesus is going to say unto those people in Matthew 7, I never knew you? Because they weren't pure in their heart. There was never anything there. They were pretending. This guy was witnessing. They were in Chicago. And they were trying to deal with this man about being saved. And they were up there from the big school up there in Chicago. It's not even Chicago, it's Indiana, but they're right across from Chicago. Hiles Anderson. And they were out, Bible students were out, they were talking to this guy, and he was working on his car. And they had their 1, 2, 3 repeat after me, and they asked the guy, says, you know, and the guy realized they're not leaving until he makes a profession. So the guy bowed his head and said whatever he wanted them to say. The Bible student went off. He put a notch on his Bible and said, well, we got another one. We got another one. We got another one. The other Bible student stood back for a minute. And he said, sir, can I ask you one more question? I promise I'm leaving. Can you tell me why you bowed your head and said that prayer? He said, you know why. It was to get rid of you two idiots. Is that salvation? Let me tell you, if you get saved for your mama or your daddy, or you get saved because you think it's a cool thing to do, or if you get saved because they were doing it, or if you get saved, hey, let me tell you, none of it's real. When God spoke to my heart, it was real. And it wasn't here. I'm telling you that right now. It was in the recesses of my soul that I repented and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. It was real. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. Not the pretenders. That's the problem with so many people across America. Brother John, wasn't that your problem? John told me he was the first one to get baptized in this baptistry. Huh? 3. Okay. How long ago was that? That's a lot of pretending in between there. Pretenders aren't going to see God. The pure in heart are going to see God. I'm telling you, you know when it's pure. Hey, I've told people, say, you don't have to doubt because you know when you really want to be saved. Hey, the devil make you doubt, but you, if you really want to be saved, guess what? You got saved. Because the pure in heart see God. When your intentions are pure, you want nothing but God's forgiveness and love, you got it. But if you want the motions, you got nothing. It's the pure in heart, they're going to see God. We got a whole nation full of pretenders. And when Jesus, they're going to be so shocked on Judgment Day when he begins to deal with them, and he begins to, and he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are going to be a lot of people shocked one day. But when your heart is pure, guess what? God is pure. Verse 9. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Brother Vic had a thing on the Sermon on the Mount. I almost called and got it from him. Had him take a picture of it and send it to me. Because it was the devil's beatitudes. and what he did, he turned that thing around and says, blessed are the troublemakers for the devil, for they shall be called the children of the devil. You know what? If you're a child of God, you're not looking for trouble. You're a child of God, you're trying to end trouble. I told you, I was at Walmart and these two ladies were fighting. And I called that lady over and I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. And what's going on here is wrong. I said, you go to church, you a church member? She said, yeah. And I said, this isn't how you're supposed to act. She said, pastor, thank you for talking to me. And her demeanor went from using every horrible cuss word you could think of to a attitude of embarrassment and shame. She paid her bill and she quietly left and didn't say another word. You say, what are we supposed to be? You say, what'd you do, Brother Chris? I got my camera out and I'm videoing every terrible thing they're saying and what they're doing. I'm watching them kick each other and punch each other. That's the generation we live in today. It's no wonder we're so cursed. Maybe someone ought to say, hey, wait a minute. This ain't right. This is not how you're supposed to be acting. Diffuse the situation for God's sake if you're a child of God. But see, this has all become entertainment. We watch people do things for entertainment. I shake my heads. The kids watch people play video games for entertainment. I can't stand video games. I sure can't stand watching someone else play video games. And I'm thinking, what? Go outside and play, for God's sake. Quit watching the stupid TV. Romans 12:18 says, if at all possibly, live peaceably with all men. Right? Aren't we supposed to try and live peaceably with people? 2 Corinthians 5 says God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That's the ministry of making peace. Now I know it's talking about the gospel, and I know it's talking about people making peace with God, but can I tell you, God loves peacemakers. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. You know, some people try and stir up a fight, don't they? And then they walk away laughing when everybody's upset. That is not the Christian path, the Christian way. I'm looking for my verse here, and I always get it goofed up, but this is what he said. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Hey, live in peace. Be at peace. God help us, that's where we're supposed to be. Verse number 10, the eighth principle. Notice what it says. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, nobody likes persecution, But can I tell you something? Look in Matthew chapter number 10. We can expect persecution. But Matthew 10 says this, Matthew 10 and verse number 25, he says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much shall they call them of his household? Now, hey, can we expect there to be problems? Can we expect there to be trouble? Yeah, but we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Amen. With the trial comes the blessing. That's why he said, hey, blessed are they which persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, if you're living righteously, hey, praise the Lord. If someone gets upset with your spirituality, praise the Lord if someone can't handle that. Yea, all live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that. Amen. James chapter 1 and in verse number 12, let me get another verse here and we'll bring it to a close. But James 1, let me get on over there. James 1 and verse number 12, this is what it says. Blessed is the man that hath endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know God rewards those who suffer for him. He does. And there's not one thing you'll ever suffer for Jesus Christ that will not be richly repaid for Him, by Him. The last one is this, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Now the key word here is falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and for so persecute they the prophets which were before them. I was getting my hair cut one time in Cincinnati, and the barber was a preacher, and he was a, what do you call that, a bivocational pastor. So he cut hair during the week and he pastored on Sunday, and I was talking to him and he was talking about the owner of the barbershop, and his name was Chris, is the owner, and Chris is very proud and very arrogant and very haughty. And he always thought, well, you know, I'm so good, I'm going to heaven because I'm good. And he was hard to talk to. Well, the preacher tried to talk to him, but what Chris would do, he said, listen, don't you preach to me. I've heard you cussing. I've heard what you flirting with them girls. I've seen what you do. See, in this barbershop, there were 8 chairs. And there were 2 big mirrors. So if you were cutting hair in the front, you're the A team. If you're cutting hair in the back, you're the B team. Now, the only thing good about the B team is you got your hair cut quick because everybody wants the A team, right? So when you were in there, they had those mirrors. And if you were on the A side, you could see everything that was happening on the B side. And the B side could see everything that was happening on the A side. So I was talking to the preacher and I said, hey, you tried to talk to him about being saved? And he said, yeah, I have a real struggle with that because, you know, he's pointed out all the wrong things that I do. Now that right there is a serious problem. It's okay if people don't like me for my Christianity, but I don't want them to dislike me for my sinfulness. You understand, you want to be blessed, you got to practice what you preach. The doer of the word shall be blessed. Not the hearer. Not just the hearer, but the doer. And what do we always say? It's not what you say, it's what you what? Do. President Biden gave the mask mandate for all federal buildings. And 1 hour later, you know what he was doing? Violating the mask mandate. Jen Psaki, press secretary, she said, well, he was just having a little fun, so it's okay if he didn't obey his own rule. Really? Well, if we're all just having a little fun, then none of us have to obey the rules, right? You know why Christianity has no credibility? Because Christians don't play by the rules. You're never going to be blessed if you don't play by the rules. You say, what is a Sermon on the Mount? It's nine principles whereby God will bless your life. And if we'll apply the principles, God's going to bless us. But if we don't apply the principles, guess what? It's no wonder people have so many problems. Walking with Jesus is the way to have God's blessing. But the key is to walk with Him. Let's stand for prayer. Oh, no, it's not. Well, let's not. Well, let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan's going to come. Oh, you can't come. You're going to come? Okay, she's going to come. Brother Doug's going to come. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. And then when we say amen, we'll have the baptism. If you want to stay, you can. If you got to go, you can go. But we're going to have the invitation first. Let's stand for prayer. And ask yourself. Ask yourself. Are these nine principles something that's a part of my life? Nine principles. Principles of God's blessing. Principle of happiness in the Christian life. Are these nine principles part of your life? Or are they not? Are they your guide for life? Or are you walking by some other rule? Let's pray and let God speak to your heart. Father, I pray you'd bless the word this morning. And God, you spoke about those who would be blessed and why they would be blessed. And Lord, I believe in every one of those principles. Lord, and I believe those principles are not just for the kingdom of heaven when you're here, Lord, in the millennium. I believe these principles are something that will guide us in the day in which we live. Guide us to prosperity. Guide us to happiness. Guide us to peace. Lord, guide us to, Lord, just having some tranquility and quiet in our lives. Lord, I pray you take these nine principles, then we all can make application to be a better child of God, a better Christian, a better husband, a better mother, a better, Lord, a better grandfather, a better grandmother, Lord, a better husband or wife. God, these are principles to be a better neighbor. God, to be a better employee. God, to be a better American, but more importantly, to be a better Christian. God, help us, Lord God, to take these principles and apply them to our everyday life. Now, Father, bless the word, speak to hearts in this invitation in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed. Brother Doug's going to sing a verse. Would you let God speak to your heart? Remember, it's the pure in heart that are going to see God. Would you let Him speak to your heart? Sing it, Brother Doug.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See
God's word is real. His way is real. And it's simply changing what you're doing and beginning to walk with and follow Him. It's the heart. It all begins in the heart. You got to have a heart for it. And when you have a heart for it, everything is different. You say, Brother Chris, why do you enjoy church? I have a heart for it. Why do you enjoy telling people about Jesus? I have a heart for it. Why do you want to forgive people and give them another chance? I have a heart for it. God put it in my heart 41 years ago. And it's only grown stronger the last 41 years. And sometimes it just bubbles over because it's in my heart. I wish that was the case of every child of God. And I promise you, if it was, our nation would be different. We'd be different in what we did for entertainment. We'd be different in what we did for worship. We'd be different in every area of our life. And there wouldn't be nobody rioting in this nation. There wouldn't be people cussing and carrying on and saying horrible things and treating people horribly. All the stealing that's going on and all the crazy that's going on, it wouldn't be there. You wouldn't have to lock your door at night. 1950, 1960, 1970, no one locked their doors and the keys were in the ignition to the car. Because people were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now we got to lock all the doors and we got a gun sitting on the counter. Which time was better, folks?
Man.
You can't even let your kids play in the front yard. Someone might steal them and traffic them.
Yeah.
We used to go play in the neighborhood for hours. And no one knew where we were. Well, they knew we were playing with the other kids, but every parent was watching out. And all mom said, be home at dinner time. Be home at supper time. Not anymore. Not anymore. And some of the biggest predators we have in America today attend church.
Yeah.
Because they're there to be evil. How sad is that?
Man. Man.
Thank God for the Sermon on the Mount and how we need to practice it. We do. Can everybody look this way? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Butch, is the feed off? Turn the feed off there.